I tell you, when you end up hearing most of my story, every day above ground is a good one. Yes?
Yes.
No question about it. Okay, so this time I'm going to talk a little bit about my story, just so you can sort of see what it's like. So you can sort of get a little picture into me. You've sort of heard a little bit during the day. And I grew up in Arizona, and I was big into sports and athletics. I really liked that. I moved on. I went to the Naval Academy in Annapolis. Some of you know where that is, in Maryland. And then I got out of that, was a pilot for a while, spent time in the Navy, about 11 years, I think the total time was, about that particular period of time. Got out of the Navy and got into the real estate world. Wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. It was really funny because I took some entrance exams. My dad had said that I should probably be a stockbroker. And I didn't know anything about being a stockbroker, but I went to one of the companies to see what it was like. And they interviewed me, talked to me, and they gave me this little test. And then they told me, thank you very much for coming, but we don't think you can sell anything, so goodbye. And so that was the end of that one. They have no idea. And then what happened was I had another interview with a company, another big giant real estate company, normally Blue and Color, Coldwell Banker, some of you have heard of that. And I took an exam. Now, you got to understand, I was coming out of the Navy, and I was used to driving ships and flying airplanes and blowing stuff up. Okay, and that's what we did. I didn't know anything about real estate at all, nothing, zero. So when I went into this interview and started talking to him, I felt like it wasn't going the way it should go. You ever had that feeling like, this isn't really, they're not like welcoming you aboard. It sounds more like they're saying, see you later. You know, and I didn't understand why. So I stopped him and I said, what is the deal with this thing? And they said, well, you know, we've never had anybody score this low on the test before. I said, really, what'd I get? He said, you got zero, not a single one. And I said, well, you tested me on real estate. You got to understand where I'm coming from. You know, I knew no knowledge whatsoever about that. Of course I got a zero. Why would I not? And I said, but I do have a fair bit of skills. You know, I can talk to some people. I have a couple of things. I got a good background. I'm an engineer. I don't tell that to very many people publicly, but I actually am an engineer. And there's sort of a joke there. So my sister's an accountant. She married an accountant. They have two kids. I don't know how, you know, because accountants, you know them. They like normally, this is the ones I've met, not you guys, of course, but the ones I've met, are relatively introverted. They're big into numbers and stuff like that, right? You follow that? Well, see, when you got to explain the whole deal, it doesn't really work. Okay? It's not that good. All right. So anyway, they were giving me away, and I decided I would go in to be part of that. And told them that I have no bad habits. You know, I don't know anything about their field. There's a chance I'm a fertile field. And I said, you can make me pretty much into anything you want, really. This is your opportunity to succeed and to excel. You can make, you know, you can become a superstar by doing that. And they went, what do you think? And they went back in the back room, came back, talked about it, and said, you know what, we think we're going to give you a shot. And so I felt a lot better about that. And then I was in Seattle at that time. They sent me down to L.A., and I went to a, commercial real estate school. They really, really intense training, really, really are good. Well, you'll never believe it. Having scored a zero getting in, and I graduated number one in the class, guess what that means? Most improved, zero to 10. I mean, how do you do any better? You know, I mean, you can't. I was the worst going in the history, they said, so that was no big deal. And then, but then I got Rookie of the Year nationwide, and then I was ranked top 20 in the United States for commercial stuff, and I really liked it, and I thought, wow, this is really great. I couldn't believe the money I was making. I couldn't believe the timing. I thought it was all about me. It's just real estate was going really well, and it just seemed to fit my personality, and I liked it. It was not easy, but I loved it, and I was going all over the United States putting deals together in all the major cities in the United States. And then one day, and I got a big, beautiful house and all the cars and trimmings, and I was 29 years old. I couldn't believe the amount of money, you know, that I was making. And I thought it would last forever. I thought I was immortal and this would be great. And about a year and a half later, I went into a doctor's appointment and the doctor said, got some bad news for you. And he said, we found something we're not real excited about. I said, what's that? He says, you have cancer, pretty bad. Looks like it's spread a bit. In fact, we're not sure if you're gonna make it. And I was like, what, really? Who are you talking to? You know, because I didn't know. There was really not too many indications of it. And so they did tests and biopsies and all that stuff. And they said, yeah, it's really taken off and gone and spread. So I had surgeries. And about 8 hours of them taking 39 lymph nodes and cut me open and did exploratory surgery. I'm very interesting on a beach. I have lots of scars. You know, guys like to compare scars. Mine will beat yours, you know, most of the time, except that dude that David talked about earlier. And so, you know, I got all kinds of, I played rugby all over the place. I've got scars, I've got broken, I got teeth that aren't mine. They had to, you know, fix and repair. I've got a shoulder that was rebuilt. I've got a bite mark still in my hand where this dude in Australia bit right through to the bone in my hand. I had to get tetanus shots. Do you know that human bite is worse than a dog or rabbit bite or something like that? Man, they said, yeah, human bit you, laid it right open. Yeah, it's a fun game. You guys ought to play that. And so I played it all over the world. It was really a lot of fun. Anyway, so the doctor says to me, it does not look good. It spread quite a bit. At that time, this is about 28, 29 years ago, he said, we can't radiate you, so we're just going to close you up. We took everything we possibly could, 39 lymph nodes and several pounds worth of other stuff that they said may have looked cancerous or not, and we're just going to sew you up and hope that it happens. You probably should get your affairs in order. How would you like that? And so now what happened was I couldn't go to work, and it was a couple of years in and out of hospitals, and I lost everything literally and went bankrupt. That was a sad, you know, thing. I was mad. I went through all the different things, denial, mad, upset, you know, cutting deals. You know, if you let me do this, I'll do this, you do that, whatever it was. And finally, it was just acceptance, and then I'll overcome it and fight it, that kind of thing, right? And I end up moving back into a room in my parents' house, 10 by 10 little bedroom. Here I was, mad at everything, wondering what went wrong, what happened. You know what I'm saying? You know, going from the top of my game to all of a sudden, whang, you know, not your time. And so when it turned out during that period of time, I had a thought that I wanted to develop. And I didn't know and understand what residuals were, but I knew, and I didn't know the term really. I just knew that I wanted a few bucks a month more coming in than it cost me to live without me having to work. I didn't know what that was called or how to do it, but it wasn't like I was interested in rich or wealthy. Been there, done that, lost it all. It didn't really matter. And I will tell you, when the things going through my mind during that period of time was not the deals I'd done, not the houses I had, the stuff, the things, all that kind of stuff. It was the vacations. It was the time I'd spent with family, friends, loved ones, people that I cared about, that cared about me, that went flooding into my head. You understand? I mean, it's like, wow, relationships. Huh, those are the most important things ever. It's not the stuff, it's the people. I had no idea. But that's what it flashed into me, and I knew, at least for me, that seemed to be the most important thing that there was. And so then when it looked like I was going to live, you know, that was a big deal. You know, I was very happy about that. There's a few people out there that are probably not happy about it, but so what, you know? And there always is that one person. I knew that one dude, I still would not forget him from high school. He's, you know, I talked to him. I think he's very upset. I think he really would have liked me to be done. But, oh well, you know, he's a weenie. Anyway, so, yeah. Nice guy, though. So anyway, I decided I wanted to try and find and develop residuals. So I was very, very fortunate in the fact that I started looking. Most of the things I said no, I didn't really know what to look for. And I ran into a fellow that graduated from the academy along with me who had said, started sharing the idea of this company called Keller Williams, a real estate company. And interestingly enough, they're designed very similar to our program in the fact that it's a network marketing company disguised as a real estate company. And it has a back end kind of thing where they share the profits, if you will. If you refer people and they refer people and they refer people, that kind of thing, then you get a piece of what goes on if there's profit around, locally, regionally, nationally, internationally. And I thought that was really great. So I saw it in 1997, and I helped them. I was very, very interested in developing that, and I realized very quickly that a person could make more money recruiting people who did really well than you could do yourself, because if you had enough people doing really well, you made better than all those who were doing well, and so therefore, by default, you were weller, and that's what I wanted to be. And I wasn't like rich or wealthy. I was just interested in making 5 or 10 bucks a month more than it cost me to live. So what it turned out was I developed most of the Western United States and recruited thousands and thousands of agents to the company, where my real estate world was doing, you know, almost a billion or a little over $1 billion a month in business, if you could imagine that. And I got, you know, I didn't realize residual has no end, so it got good, and I laugh and tell people, you know, my goal wasn't rich, it happened, I'm adjusting, it's okay, don't get upset. But I said, it wasn't like, you know, I just wanted to get free. I wanted to be free in America, really, okay? And so that allowed me to do that. And to this day, it still does billions of dollars. And I've been retired from that for 10 years, over a decade, I think, at this point in time. And it still continues to pay me. And so that's a really super great thing. Then, so I started traveling the planet, the world. I didn't have to work now. I was looking around. And as I'm traveling in the planet and seeing different things, I'm really loving this travel thing. And I want to learn different languages. I want to learn different cooking abilities. I want to find someone to spend the rest of my time, you know, passionately. And so what happened was about 6-7 years ago, I was in Greece, in Nafplio, which is sort of the getaway weekend place for the Athenians that have a lot of money. And so I was and I was at the top of the Tower of Achilles, which is way, way up, 1,000, 2,000 steps way up, way, way, way high. And there is, you know, very few people that walk all the way to the top or climb or get up there because it's very tiring and you're sweating, you're dying, your legs are burning. And it's very much like the world in the fact that, you know, the view is magnificent, but very few people keep doing the work to get there. All you got to do is keep going one step at a time. It's not that difficult. You just have to take the next step. Keep taking the next step. And you're allowed to rest and take a break and keep going. But for some reason, most people that were going up this hill would stop. And I'd see him coming down the steps, and I'd ask him, how was the view? What was it like? I heard it's magnificent. And they said, no, we gave it up. We just got to be too long, too much. We got something else we got to do, blah, blah, blah. And I heard that from dozens and dozens of people. I finally made it all the way up to the top, and I said, you know, and there was nobody else up there. Nobody up there. And I sat and I had a 360-degree view of the ocean. And I could see where many, many years ago, the Persians, you know, they were going after the Greeks then. And there was a walled city up there, 2,000 plus years old. And you could be, if you're looking out, you could see anybody sneaking up on you. Very difficult, you know, to do that. And I was up there imagining what they were thinking 2,000 years ago. You know, it's kind of cool. The only person there. And so I started having a halftime talk with myself, if you will. Okay, because my background was in sports and athletics, that type of thing. And I've been many, many halftime coaches. Some of you have sports and athletics know and have experienced that. Whether you're behind or ahead, the coach is going to give you that, you know, that last bit to go the last half. And I'm talking to myself like I'm the team and the coach saying, okay, we're halfway, we're at halftime right now, you know, and we don't have any major injuries. We have, you know, we have a couple of close calls, but we're good. And we're comfortably ahead. How are we going to pay the second half? You know, the second half of the year. And I said, you know what? It'd be really kind of cool. What I'd really like to have is I want to do something again. I want to build something. I'm sort of a builder. And I like to be at mentoring. I've mentored many, 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 many people in the real estate world to make a significant amount of money, millions of dollars, actually, quite a few of them. And the biggest subset of people that I worked with were single moms, quite frankly. I would do seminars around the country, and the guys that were in it for the flash and the cash, but the single moms, they had no choice. They had burnt their ships, like David talked earlier. They had to do it for the family. Do you understand that? Their why was so big, it didn't matter what the facts were, they were going to get it done. You follow that? And that taught me then why is important, very, very important, that your why is important. And if your why isn't big enough, if your why does not make you cry, it is not big enough. You will not go through the bumps and the scrapes that you're going to go to affect many, many thousands of people's lives if your why isn't big enough. Dig down deep, find out what your why is. Truly understand what that's all about. And so I said, I want to do another thing. I didn't know what it was, but I want to build something. And here was my parameter. You love this, okay? I had no idea. World Ventures didn't even exist at that time. And I said, okay, this is what I want. I want to have something. Number one, I want to build something again. I want it to be globally. I want it to be global in potential. I would like it to be fun. It has to be fun. If it's not fun, you know, I don't want to do it. And I'm a red-green, so I have fun as long as I'm in control and I'm winning. And if I'm winning and I'm in control, I'm having a lot of fun. And if I'm having fun, then I'm winning. So I wanted that. You understand that? Okay. So so I said, okay, so I want to have something that's totally fun. It's global. I want to have something that has a residual component to it. And I would love to be able to mentor and teach and train other people. Okay? That kind of thing, and that was it. Poof, go out there to the world, butterfly effect, what's going to happen? I said, oh, and by the way, I'd like to find somebody to live the last half of my life passionately with, you know, around the world. You follow that? So boom, there's my two messages out there, and I forgot about it. And long time flies by, and I get invited to go to hear this person talk. And what was really interesting was I'd seen a lot of things, and most of the time I spent my time saying no. Not interested, not that, not this, not that, right? You know, and I've seen a lot of different things. So then here I get invited by a guy that cost me a couple $100,000. I think I mentioned this the other day. In other words, the last two times I met him, it had cost me $100,000, and I hadn't seen him or the money since. You follow that? So I didn't have real good thoughts about him at that moment. You follow that, or for years. And so anyway, I get a call from him, and he says, hey, Rob, I've got this guy I want you to meet. He's onto something really big, just, you know, like what you heard. I think you ought to go hear what he has to say. And I said, you know, his name was Scott. I said, you know, I really appreciate that, Scott, but I'm really not interested in meeting anybody that you know. You know, we used to do some good things together. That was really great. But the last two times, it was really pretty bad, you know. And I haven't seen hide or hear. And by the way, where are you? You know, that kind of a thing. And he said, well, you know, you've got to go see this guy. And I said, I really don't. He said, you really do. And I said, I really don't. He said, you really do. And I said, why did you say that? And he said, because I'm going to hound you every day until you die for you to see and hear what this guy has to say. And once you go hear what he has to say, I don't care what you do. Just go see and do it. And I said, are you serious about that? I mean, truly, are you really? Do you really mean that? And he said, yes. And I went, all right, fine. When should I meet him? And he said, well, tomorrow, you know, you'll meet him. Like, we set up a time at his office, and I went there to go meet him, right? And so I go meet this guy, the guy who's, you know, I'm supposed to meet, and I said, you're going to love this. How'd you love this? Your latest prospect says this to you. I walk into him, and I say, hi. I said, you must be Jeff. He says, yeah, I'm Rob. I said, understand this. I am totally not excited to meet you. I have no interest in whatever it is that you're selling. Whatever you're selling, the answer is no. Okay, the only reason I'm here is to get that SOB off my back. So go ahead and give me your spiel. I'll take my toaster, and I'll leave. We clear? And he goes, yeah, good, super great. Sit down. You're going to love this. This is fantastic. I can't believe what you're going to see. Wow, wow, just wait till you see this. And it's like I'm thinking, did he just hear me? I mean, you know, I'm slamming him. And but it, apparently, you know, I give him grief now. He's from Texas, so I understand. And no, just kidding. And he's from Amarillo. Now I really understand. And so he super nice guy, really super nice. But I thought, man, he didn't hear what he had to say. He could have heard it. And so he got going into it, and I'm listening, like I'm really listening. Oh well, you know, I gotta sit there so this guy will get off my back. Problem was, about 8 to 10 minutes into it, I thought, you know, I kind of like this. There's a problem. It looks good. I might be interested. I mean, and then, you know, I kept seeing all the trips, and it was like, yeah, I really do. I'd like to travel. And I think I'm going to have to do this. And then he showed me the money side. And I thought, are you kidding me? You just got to show this to a few people. They pay all this money, and everyone's going to travel. It's harder to get real estate people to do stuff than it is to get people on vacation. Can you believe that? Okay. How many of you, and I thought, well, people don't go on, you know, they don't buy houses every day, but they go on vacation all the time. This has got to be bigger. I didn't know how bigger, but I knew 6 years ago, the only thing I knew about travel was I wanted to do more of it than less and pay less than more. That was pretty much it. Okay? And he looked like he could be able to show me how to do that. So that was good. Then I saw the money side, and I thought to myself, wow, if he's making any money of this at all, I'm going to kill it. Okay? I had no idea who this guy was. But that's just the way, you know, it came across. And so I said, okay, when it got all done, there was two of us there, and he asked the first person to see if she was interested in joining. She was there to see it the second time, and she said no, she didn't have the money, didn't have the time, blah, 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 and he was going to put her in first, and then she said no, and then he looked to me, and I said, yeah, I think I'll do it. Go ahead and put me in. And very casually, I didn't want to let him know I was excited, because I thought I would probably need his help. So I hoped he forgot everything that I had said earlier, and apparently he did. You know, right when I told him, it just went, which I'm very glad it did, by the way. Thank you very much, okay? He'd been to some training, so he didn't care what I said. I was just another exposure, a number. I was nobody, right, to him. I was just another one that he was showing up to do. So anyway, I see it, I like it, I join, I get in, and, you know, the rest is sort of history. I get in, I like it, I start building it, putting it together. And it has changed my life so dramatically and impacted literally thousands of other people in a very big, giant way, so much so that it's just hard to give you the feeling of what it's like. But I will tell you, one of the things you need to know when you start putting this business together was, I knew from the second when I started, I was going to do this thing no matter what. I didn't care what other people thought. I didn't care what other people did. If I had to show it to every single person myself, it would be a good idea. I didn't think that there would be that many people that would say no, quite frankly. And I'm still sort of surprised when people tell me no, you know, because it's the idiot fact. My opinion is, you know, it's the like, but did you get dropped on your head as a child repeatedly? I mean, like, what's up with you? You know, you don't have that flat a head. You know, maybe, you know, I didn't get it. So I just started putting it together and making it happen, you know, pretty good deal. And so what happened was, long story short, but I started putting this thing together enough so that it by itself, with nothing else, started creating the ability to be a free person in America. And it started covering more than it cost me to live so that I could just period lived, no matter what, whether they had a job or not. Okay, and just by doing that, and just start showing it to people, and I tried to show it to as many people as I could who'd sit down to show it, and you know, and we didn't have these big meetings, we didn't have all this stuff. We had 30, you know, dream trips, and not 1,000 plus, and they were all sold out long time in advance. And the dude that enrolled me, you know, that invited me to come see it, he didn't even come to the meeting that I went to. He didn't even show up at his office. I was the only one, you know, he didn't even show up. And so when I signed up, he didn't, you know, so you know, he wasn't there. He's not in, and he has no idea. Thousands and thousands of people. He has no idea, you know. And that story in itself is amazing. In fact, I'll tell you that really quick. Okay, this is what happened. How I ended up there is that Jeff, the guy that enrolled me, he got a telephone call from a telemarketer. Okay, from a telemarketer, and she was trying to sell something to him, and he wasn't interested. And at the end, he said, "Can I ask you a question?" She said, "Sure. Do you really enjoy doing what you're doing? Doesn't really sound like you do." And she says, "No, I don't enjoy it at all." And he said, "Well, I really love doing what I'm doing, and you know my phone number, so I'm going to give you a website to look at, and if you like it, call me back." Now, he's told that to probably 500 telemarketers in his life. He just throws it out there because he just throws it. Well, what happened was this telemarketer went home and watched it, called him back. Can you believe it? And said, "I really like it. I want to join." So he said, "Okay," took her information and put her in. And he said to her, "Who's the most successful person that you know?" And she said, "My boyfriend." And he went, "Oh, no, boyfriend, telemarketer, and this is not going to be good," right? But it turned out she was a pretty hot telemarketer, and the person that she had her boyfriend was a dude that owned a real estate company with 400 real estate agents in it. Okay, so so Jeff said, "When is he going to be home?" And he said, "Well, he's going to be home around 8 o'clock. Great, I'll call you about 8. We'll have him see it. We'll see what he thinks." And she says, "Okay." And so anyway, at 8 o'clock, boom, he sends it. He sees it. He likes it. He's in. He's with Keller Williams. Okay, Keller Williams is the same kind of assistant, but with real estate agents. So he sees this. He goes, "Vacations? Sure, I'm in." He decides to join, right? So he signs up. So Jeff doesn't know him. He's in Texas. Now he's got the girl signed up, the telemarketer, and her boyfriend, who has an office with 400 agents. And he says to him, "Who's the most successful person that you know?" And he said, "Well, I know this guy, Scott, but you'll never get to hold of him. He's got 12 offices, thousands of agents, blah, 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 all this kind of thing." And he said, "Well, do you mind if I try?" And he said, "No." And so he gave him his number, and Jeff called him every day for 6 months. Once a day, every day. "Hi," just sort of like, you know, in that movie, you know, where the guy was calling Gordon Gekko all the time every month. It's your basic call. And he called him every single day. It was just on his calendar. Call him every day, call him every day, call him every day. "Hey, Scott, what are you doing? Waiting to meet you." And he got his secretary, he got his assistant, he got people. He never got through to him ever. And finally, one day, Jeff happened to be in Arizona for some other event for somebody else, okay? And he called Scott and he says, "Hey, Scott, I'm here in Arizona. I'm sitting at such and such having a drink. If you'd like to join me, why don't you come see me?" No. 90 seconds later, his phone rang, and it was Scott. And he says, "Dude, drink?" "Yeah, sure, I'll be there." And so he met him. He went there and met him, right? And Jeff thought, "Oh, my God, if I had just known to offer him a drink, I'd have done that 6 months ago." I had no idea what drove him, right? And so anyway, he shows up. And Scott's the kind of bottom-line kind of guy. Bottom-line me. So he shows up, and Jeff's getting all his stuff out, ready to go, a real actual presentation, full thing, show him everything. And Scott can see this is going to take more than about 55 seconds. And Scott doesn't, you know, mostly have sit still 55 seconds any time in his life. He's a very interesting fellow. Anyway, so he finally says, "Stop. Bottom-line me. Tell me, what's it going to cost me, and can I make any money?" And so Jeff stopped, never showed him the biz, so he's never seen it, doesn't even know how it works. He just knows that you can make money, and it cost at that time $500. And he says, "Okay, but I can make money, yes." And he said, "My buddy Jim's doing it?" He says, "Yes." He says, "Okay, put me in." So he joined, right? And so then Jeff said to him, "Who's the most successful person that you know?" And he said, "This guy, Rob, me." And he said, "You mind if I try and get him?" He says, "I don't think you'll ever get him. I think he's somewhere in Greece right now." I was having that epiphany. You understand that? And Scott wouldn't give my number because he said, "No, I don't give anybody Rob's number, but I'll see him trying to get you together." Well, it took months and months and months for them to finally hook us up together, and I met Jeff, and Scott didn't show up, and I joined. Do you understand that? I mean, that's how it happened, and now Jeff has thousands and thousands of people on his team because of that. You follow that? That's persistence. That's flipping a card that turned out to be a good one. You follow that? Okay, you just never, ever know. So anyway, what I'm going to do, and then 6 months into the deal or so, thereabout, 7 months or so, I met Jen. And we met, a lot of times I like to have her tell the story because she tells it so well. You know, I really, really like that. She's a beautiful gal right there in the back. If you can raise, say hi to Jen. Spectacularly beautiful, very smart. I love everything about her. And I will tell you that, you know, we met at an event, and I was one of the speakers there, and I had just broke a record for the fastest to be going director at that time. Now it's like 27 seconds, you know. Someone goes, they get a car in an hour and a half or something. You know, it's like, wow, are you kidding me? I had to at least think for an hour before he's already got it done, you know. Amazing. And so, you know, back then, going director in 2 months was a big deal. Now it's like, more than a month, what's wrong, you know? They, in Singapore, you know, 11 and a half, 12 hours. You know, it's just amazing. So anyway, now I meet Jen. I'm over there speaking, and she comes up, and I'll tell this thing real quick, you know, is because it was very interesting when you get to know me, but she came through the sort of the line, you know, we're saying hello, and there's a bunch of people speaking, and Jeff and I had been speaking, and we were rather funny, in case you couldn't tell. You know, I just don't see anything normally. I always see things skewed from the funny side, because I don't really take much serious ever since I nearly died, you know, and since I came back really from that, it's like been, wow. You know, I just don't take anything serious, because it's nothing in life is that worth that much to worry about. Hello, we're all the same. We're all above ground. We're having fun. We're all trying to survive. Get over yourself, you know, and be nice to somebody. Is that okay? You know? And so anyway, so she comes through. She said hello. She's from Scottsdale, and I was from Scottsdale. And she says, hello, I really enjoyed hearing you talk. You were really great up there. And you look at her, right? And so I did that too. I went like this. Didn't know I did it. It was unconscious effort, believe me. I just, you know, it was one of those things. It's like, there's a steak. I'm going to look at the steak, and then I'm going to go away. It's just, there it was. Wow. Right? And I said, I'll bet you're good at a lot of things. Hey, but it's not what you thought. I thought she was probably really good at a lot of things, because what I had felt was this intense energy from her, really, truly, unbelievable. You know, and people say, yeah, really, sure. And she said, she kept back, and all this happened in a sort of a nanosecond thing, because this whole interchange took about 13 seconds, really quick, you know. And she looked back at me and folded back with this cute little look and says, as a matter of fact, I am. Right? Good for her, baby, all right? So anyway, we didn't see each other, and that was it. Total deal, 45 seconds. We didn't talk anymore, didn't pass any information. Nothing else happened. Boom, it was gone. I was saying hello to the next one. And 6 weeks later, we met. We ran into each other at another event. I think Byron Schrog was out in Arizona. We got to talking, and we just couldn't stop talking with each other. That energy was there, and she had a son who was 11 at that time who wanted to go home. I remember that cat in the presentation that... No, no. Some of you remember? Well, hi, your son looks very nice. Yeah, I'm glad he's real. Oh, okay. You know? Anyway, off they went. Yeah, well, there you go. And so we ran into each other a couple of weeks later, and I didn't really know what was going on, but Jeff apparently noticed that I had an interest. And Jeff, who wanted me, I was this big deal coming along, you know, putting hundreds of people in, he decided that he would have her show up from time to time, and he would send text messages to her, and we'd go to do a meeting, and there she'd be, and it was like, oh, this woman, she's just, it's so cool that she's here from time to time. And I didn't know that Jeff was behind the scenes making all this happen, right? Because apparently if you find a winner, you almost pretty much move in, you know, and get them whatever they want. And I didn't know that was the deal, right? And so what he wanted to do was have me be happy because I really liked her, or it looked like that was the thing, right? So we got to talking, and then long story short is we had a lunch date, and that lunch date lasted like 12 and a half hours. Okay, we talked about everything you could possibly imagine, started at 11 and ended up at midnight, you know, and I mean, it was unbelievable. And we started, you know, I had several meetings during the time, and I had her, you know, fill in. I says, you've done this, you know, why don't you tell him what the answer to that is? And I was sort of interviewing her to see if she was like copacetic to this deal, you know, and she didn't realize it till later on. And because we ended up at late time, at late night meeting, and we, you know, had ended up being with the twins and Jeff and us around this lake, and it was really kind of fun for late night, you know, rehash of what the day was. And she was there, and this was really cool. And you know, it was really, really, really pretty amazing. Well, long story short, we decided that, you know, we were really perfect for each other, and we ended up getting married. And about a year, almost 2 years ago, we got married in Italy in the Amalfi Coast. Life has not been the same. I'll tell you that. Thank you, Jen. Really kind of cool, you know. So as Jen says and I say, this business has pretty much provided every single thing that we've been looking for, either one of us. And she had her giant list. Hers was several pages, right? Single page?
It was about 2 pages of what I deserved for myself and my son.
And did I have a list too?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I did.
And I qualified.
And you qualified for sure. That was a lot of fun, and life gets really good, doesn't it? It's fun to take vacations, yes? You never know. So anyway, what I'm going to do here is show you sort of in life. So what's happened is, as we've come together, we've been able to have a very unique, you know, situation, is that the money from this business has provided us a lifestyle that very few people have, to be a free person in America. That's a very big thing. You know, I saw the movie Lincoln a little while ago. That moved me big time. You know, when you saw that, I you know, what went on in the country and the freedoms that we had or we didn't have, the different people, and to realize that corporations and companies tend to think they own you, your chattel. They tell you what you can do, what you can't do, when you get time off, when you can take off, how much money you get, where you live, who you live nearby based on what they pay you, the time, all that kind of stuff. And people tend to believe that for some reason. I don't know why. They go to school, you know, and they start learning to get break time, they get lunch time, they get recess time, they get to home. They're starting to groom you like what is going to be a job. Break at 10, lunch at 12, break at 2, home at 5, back the next morning. And all of a sudden, you're programmed to do this, and you don't realize you don't have to. There's a lot of different ways to make money. Some are not that painful, okay, to be able to do this. And this is definitely not painful to be able to put this together. So the intent of me showing you this little, we got a film clip here, okay, just to kind of show you what our life is like, to let you know, is it worth doing this? Is it really worth doing this? Can you have the freedom? I was on the freeway the other day at a time when I'm normally never there, which is called rush hour to work. You follow that? And I could not believe what I saw. Oh my God, the pain in those people's faces. There were women driving, putting makeup on, missing. There were people trying to eat, drinking coffee, driving, all this, everything you could possibly imagine. And it's like, why do they do that? They don't have to do that. I can show them the answer, and yet they look at me and they say, I have to think about it. Really? I saw what you did, hello. Try and recruit me. That's where I got the idea, you should recruit me. Okay, if this doesn't excite you, tell me what you do and recruit me to do what you do. Let's see how that goes. You follow that? That's how I started getting that. Before you know it, they could not recruit me. I could recruit them really, really easy because all we had to do was play the difference, okay? So I'm going to show the video here real quick so you can see what life is like. And this is just some of the trips we've taken. We've taken, you know, we've been in the business now, it's about 6 years, almost 6 years. I think I've enrolled 90 people personally, something in that neighborhood, just under 100, in that neighborhood like that. And our team has grown to thousands of people. And a year and a half into it, after we hit regional marketing director, we decided to travel around the world and to see the world an awful lot more. And we gave her son at that time, his name's Rio, he was 11 years old, and we asked him if he, you know, he was the only one that had that job thing. He had to show up for school every day, which is sort of messing up our travel schedule. And so what we said to him was, you know, if you're interested and you'll do this, if you'll go to school online, then you can travel all over the world with us, and you can get educated doing what you do, but you can see the world and other countries and other languages and cultures and understand where you're at and where you're going, okay? And because what I found was when you spend time with a child at that time of their growing life, you cannot believe the tightness in the relationship that you can develop. And what I've seen Jen do with Rio is unbelievable because of the time she's able to spend. Other people don't. Jen and I have been together about 5 years, okay? And yet, because we don't have jobs and we're able to spend the time together, we literally spend more time together than some couples who've been married 30 or 35 years. Do you understand that? If you start thinking the time, and so we have to be friends. You understand? You know, because, whoa, if you're not friends, that's not good, right? And so we took Rio all over the world. He's been many, many different places. And in that process, we ended up getting a home in South America, in Ecuador, and spending a lot of time there. And we just took time off, right? And like I said, I'm twice David's age, so, you know, I want to enjoy stuff a bit more. You follow what I'm saying? I love what's happening. I love the thing that's happening, but I really want to see life and develop my relationship with my wife, right, and with Rio, and just, you know, the people that I care and love about. Does that make sense? And so this is sort of a montage that actually I have to give Jen the credit. Jen put this together over the thousands and thousands of photos that we have put together of the trips we've taken, some 50-something trips in the last 5 years. And that is just literally, and this is not all of them by any means. This is just a couple of them, several of them, lots of them, but not all of them. And you'll be able to see what that is. And I'm going to wrap this all up to tell you the message of the why. Why is very important. Your why is very, very strong. That was good. Wow. Thank you, Jen. We got in for, I always say this all the time, I saw this business and I loved it. I got in for fun and frolic. I'm having fun and there's frolic. And but I will tell you, it's more than all about that. We can start the next thing up, and this is the big, big why, okay? Know and understand. Life is really good, and you never really know what's going underneath when things happen. Do you understand that? People have different things happen, things going on. Our life is pretty spectacular. And we try and share that with people literally every single day. We're sharing it with people to tell them, you have the possibility of affecting people like this in a way. Your life can be like this if you want it. It's not just for us. We're just a product of the system. And system made freedom in America. And it is a powerful, powerful thing, freedom. To do what you want, when you want, with the people you want, in the style that you want, to help them understand what an incredible country, what an incredible business that we have here by showing them the world. And then being able to reach out now as we build this all over the world to help other countries realize that they can have the very same thing. That is a possibility. So when we travel now, we travel with a purpose. And that is not just to have fun. We have fun, but it's for the backup plan. It's plan B. Now, this is, what if this happened to you? This is an actual plan B story, okay? You may recognize some of the people in this picture. But when I find, what happens is that it's a very, very interesting deal, okay? So I'm going to start with this very first one here. That is the happy couple. Okay, we're real excited, happy. Life is really super good. Okay, and is it not going? There's our wedding on the Amalfi Coast, which is really super great. This is 2 years ago, right? And then we went to this giant, huge event where we had a couple thousand people there doing that. Well, understand this. Just about a year before this, I ran into a high school friend that played. We played football together, and he was a quarterback. He was a couple years ahead of me, and I was a running back. And we just happened to meet, nothing to do with World Ventures. I ran into him. We wanted to get caught up. And Hal is his name, and he had told me that he had been married to his high school sweetheart now for 40-something years. We hadn't seen each other in 40 years, but we recognized each other instantly when we saw each other across the room, opposite ends of the room. Is really sort of something, and to get caught up. And he was telling me for the last 40 years, he has worked in the manufacturing industry. And that the four different companies that he worked for eventually went offshore, closed their operations, they don't exist anymore, and there's no retirement program from all those companies. Nothing. And so here he is, 60 plus years old. He's got nowhere to go. His wife is working full time for the insurance. He's had to become a real estate agent because who's going to hire a 62-year-old somebody to do something? And he's working 70 hours a week as a real estate agent to help pay the bills. And his grandkids live in Atlanta. And he's in Arizona. And she only gets 2 weeks off, so they don't get to see much. And he's telling me this over lunch, and he's crying. He said, because we just discovered that we had this conversation that we are going to have to work until we die. And he told me this at lunch. He told me his why before I told him mine. And I shared the video with him, and he cried. And he said, if half of that is true, and you'll teach me, I'm in. Now, he got in, okay? He started building this. He qualified for his car within 3 months. He's a director, almost a marketing director now, and just a tad about a year, got several hundred people on his team. He's surpassed his wife's income. He's equaled his own income. They've now visited the grandkids 4 or 5 times this year, which is more times than they had in the last many, many years. They hadn't been on vacation in 10 years. He's been on 4 different vacations this year already. Okay, including the $69 cruise. He says, they qualified for 2 BMWs, you know, and his life has changed massively and dramatically because of this business. And he spends 4 to 6 hours a week at this, 75 hours a week at his job, and this has almost matched his real estate money. You understand that? Okay, now that's that side of the equation. The other side is he's also a cancer survivor, okay, and he's a marathon runner. And so he told me that he said the reason why he made it through this cancer program so well was because he was so strong from being a marathon runner. His cardiovascular system was very, very strong. And he suggested that I run a marathon, which I just laughed at him and said, really? I'm lucky to walk down to the end of the street, you know? and let alone, but I'm competitive, so I thought, why not? But I'm not going to tell him, you know. And he says, no, it's really simple. There's a website you look at from zero to a marathon in 6 months. It's not all that big of a deal. Just like I told him from zero to director in 6 months, not all that big of a deal. You just do this, watch, and he was telling me the same thing. And so I go, okay, but I'm not telling him. And I decided I would start walking, crawling, stumbling, falling, whatever, for a mile, 2 miles, quit, come back, call, walk, wall, everything I possibly can to be able to walk until about 4 months before this trip. I had been running for the 4 months before that up to 6 miles a day, and I thought in my head that I was going to be able to do 10 miles, and I might just out of the question be able to do a marathon, but I wasn't going to tell Hal. I was just going to ask him casually if he was thinking about running a marathon again. And that I would want to say, well, you know, I might come along with you. I just wanted to add that. That was my attitude. You understand that? I was doing it, not letting him know. I was silently reading, getting my mind better is what I was doing, like in this business, you know. If you read, they don't know you're coming, and you get ready, you're smarter than them. And so what happened was, as I'm flipping a card, a year ago, Tyler joined. Okay, remember that guy I told you, Tyler, who's 24 years old, he's now 25. He joined and flipped a card. Someone enrolled him in Amarillo, Texas. Tyler's now, I think, officially put in his 2,000th person. Okay, in a year, not personally, his whole team, right? And he's just electrified what's happening and going on. He's now 25 years old. He was a golf pro PGA player, and I met him pretty much on this trip, and that is him. Can't see it, right? If you see Tyler, he's next to the guy in the red hat, which is me. Tyler's right next to him, and that's when I sort of met Tyler. Okay, on that boat, and at that time he had 500 or 600 people on his team, and it was an all-inclusive, and I told him I'd buy him a drink. And I said, wow, Tyler, I'm really excited for you, because, you know, he's added 600 people to the team, and I hadn't had to do anything, and I thought, this thing is really cool when the right people show up, hello, you know? It didn't take that much time and effort. I didn't train him, teach him, the system did, he did his thing, he shows the stuff. I did a couple of three-way calls, and he was off. Do you understand that? That was awesome, okay? So here we are, there, and you see the guy in the blue shirt? That's Jeff. He's the guy that showed me. Okay, and the guy in the white, that's Mason, in the black hat. Mason Ung. Mason's the new marketing director, almost regional marketing director. He was not in at that point in time. He played for the Cleveland Browns for 5 years on their special team. He's totally pumped and fired up about this deal. And here I am. Where's the next little slide? There we are. That's us with the fish that supposedly we caught. We didn't really. I borrowed them from other people to make it look like we caught them. Okay. Yeah, because we were involved in talking, Mason and I and Tyler. We talked the whole time, so we never really did catch anything. But we had to act like we did, you know, we had to act as if. So we took this picture and we posted it, having a super great time, you know, practicing catching, we said, or something like that. Because we didn't actually do it, and that was us, okay? And that was 2 weeks after that. You understand, we're having fun and enjoying ourselves, yes? Now remember, I had been running. Hal's now free, almost free. I've been running up to 6 miles, okay? 2 weeks later, we still don't know why this picture happened. That's me in the intensive care unit, basically dead. I had a double pneumonia. My lungs filled up. I stopped breathing. Jen took me to the hospital. I said, I'm having a really hard time breathing. And she said, do you think we should go to the emergency room? And I said, yeah, I think we should. And so we went. That's the last thing I remember. And then it turns out that they had to put me into a monitor. They filled up my lungs filled up so much so that they got this machine. I went into a coma. That machine right there is what tilts you around 365 degrees, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It works getting the liquid and the fluid out of your lungs, because if your lungs have fluid in them, they don't get the oxygen to them and you die. And so I was in that, and the hospital didn't have one of those machines there. So they had to get it there. And they told Jen that very few people ever make it through this machine. A few percent, very small, people live. If they go into this, it's pretty much a death chamber. It's last hope, last ditch effort to make this happen. And so I'm sitting in this, now there's the machine in the intensive care unit, they brought it in, okay? Now, this next thing, that's me in it. I don't know if you can see that in there, but you see a little part of my shoulder or something over at the other end. And it starts rotating you. And they put you in there. You go in that machine naked. They cover you with oil and put different pads on you, because as they turn you, you rub against stuff. And you can get really beat up in there. And they told her, people look really bad when they come out of there. He may look like he's been hit with boards for 500 times coming out of this. This is not an easy thing to do. And I was in a coma for how many days, Jen? 5 days. okay? And they told her, he may not make it. You may have to get your affairs in order. It's twice in my life now, okay? Now, here's me. You can just barely see my face. The machine is now breathing for me. I'm not. It is. It's breathing for me. That red, that's what's coming out of my lungs. Completely full of that. During this process, it turns out it was a really good thing because they put 3 stents in my heart because they found I was 95% blocked. Had I not had pneumonia, they said, you were just a walking heart attack. You were one step away. We don't know how you're even walking. And so I'm glad now I had the pneumonia, and they put the stents in. And I'm in this thing. We still don't know if I'm going to make it, okay? Here's a note that Jen wrote on the emergency room. It says, thank you to all staff, every single one of you who help Rob, even those who keep his room clean. I would be a widow right now without your help. Your work changed my life. Love you, Jen. That's huge. And she was there for me the whole time. Now, this is me. Apparently, I may be making it. Don't know yet. I'm still having oxygen. It's still breathing for me. Okay? Couple days later, I'm still out in a coma. Couple days later, now they take the breathing thing off. It looks like I'm going to make it. Okay? Then I wake up. And guess what I do? First thing I do when I wake up. Where are you at? You're in a hospital. I think I need a vacation. How about you? And she said yes, and that's her application. She signed up right there in the hospital. Is that awesome or what? When you have a why, facts don't count, baby. Okay? And then what happened was, that's me the very next day, coming out of the hospital now, and they said, very unusual, we never see anybody recover like this. Now you got to understand, I had cancer 29 years ago, and as a result of that, I did not have health insurance. Do you understand? I left that hospital with 2 things, Tarly's application and a $400,000 bill from the hospital. And last time it happened to me 29 years ago, I lost everything and went bankrupt. You understand that? Like hitting a brick wall. And this time, because of residual income and because of World Ventures, while I was in the hospital, my business grew, my residual grew, the money continued to come in, and it was like a speed bump driving over instead of a brick wall like the last time. Thank you, World Ventures. Yeah. Now it gets better. They tell me it normally takes a year, year and a half to recover from this. So you're not allowed to go to work. If you have a work, we'll sign whatever you need. You're off work for a year and a half. You can't lift anything over a couple of pounds. You're not, you know, you're not out there to go out there. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder how much this weighs. That's what I was thinking. And there's me the next day. They said I'm not supposed to even walking around with my buddy Hal, who had just qualified for his BMW. All right. You follow that?
Yeah.
And I took him out driving that BMW. But the big news is this. I think if I even remember telling you that. Oh, yeah, because I had been running. Did I tell you that? Hal saved my life. World Ventures saved my life. It's a God thing. Hal's got his BMW. And we have a life. Thank you, World Ventures.